April 15, 2021. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise, LLC, Maraj Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. With Allah's name, the Merciful Benefactor, the Merciful Redeemer. Assalamu alaikum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic this evening is Al-Islam, the Tafsir of Imam Wafiuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you have missed any of the talks, go online to www.blocktalkradiomaradspeaks.com and you'll be able to listen to the talk that you have missed. So we will open with a short dua and then we'll continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mubarak. The Quran Surah 73 ayat 1-3, stand and pray. The Quran Surah 74, 1-3, O you in mental, arise, warn. The Quran Surah 6, ayat 69-70, duty to remind. The Quran Surah 62, ayat 9-10, when the call is made, leave off business. If we are really Muslims, we have to be an active and not a passive community. We are not a call of sheep, dreamers, or spacewalkers. The Muslim is called by God to be an active community. As a Muslim, you have to register concerns of those around you. You must be concerned with whether they are being mistreated or suffering the burden of their own ignorance. If they need to be enlightened, you are obligated to enlighten them. You must also ask yourself questions such as, are they without business sense? For what reason do they have nothing but a life of dependency? If they are your Muslim brothers and sisters, and you are business-wise, it is your obligation to enlighten them. You must also be concerned if those around you are giving themselves to wild and injurious kinds of influences in this Western culture. If you are aware of those damaging, injurious influences, and you see them giving themselves to those influences, then you are obligated to help them rise to the challenge. The Muslim is obligated to stand up and meet the challenge from those things that will work to take us out of the excellent form and excellent future God intended for his creatures. Muslims are protesters. When we give our declaration of faith, Kalima, as a protester, or we could affirm and just say God is one God. But no, we first say La in Arabic, which means no. That is in itself a protest. We are not only say that God is one God, but we say no God but God. That carries a message of one who is protesting. Many of us are afraid to get in the moral army to fight for moral excellence in our immediate surroundings. Many of us are afraid to get in the army for better education. Many of us are afraid to get into the army for better living conditions in our neighborhood. Many of us are afraid to get in the army of protest by the consumer against those who ignore this community, this humanity, treat man as though he is a vile animal, selling him inferior merchandise at high prices. When God is our greatest love and when our desire is to be pleasing before him more than it is before our associates, that is when we will have the strength to do what is required of us. Many of us fail to get in the army of law-abiding citizens when we see moral violators all around us, such as thieves and shoplifters and vandals. Many of us live with these things without a burden on our conscience. If you can tolerate those things, you are not the Muslim community that God wants. A Muslim community must rise to the challenge and meet the challenge. God has obligated us to go against and resist all that is bad. We are to insist upon what is good, what is excellent, and we are to prohibit what is wrong, bad, or degrading. We cannot claim to be Muslims if we are not willing to wear the principles and bear that responsibility. But God said, if you fail, I will rise up another people, and they will not fear. The accusation, the criticism of those who criticize. Many of us cannot accept being unpopular. We say to ourselves, oh, God knows my heart. But if I go all the way with this religion, I'm going to be unpopular with my associates. Well, if that is the way you feel and think, then you are not the one to carry out that great responsibility God has placed upon the Muslims of advancing right and resisting wrong. Those who can carry out that responsibility must first be strong enough not to be dispirited, hurt, checked, or made weak by the fear of being unpopular. We cannot be strong if we worry about being unpopular, when God is our greatest love, and when our desire is to be pleasing before Him more so than it is before our associates. That is when we will have the strength to do what is required of us. If it is a requirement for the Muslim to obey the will of God and to please Him of what he has asked of us, that it is that the real Muslim, that is what it means when we say a Muslim is one yielding the will, yielding the spirit to God. It means that you live most of all to satisfy what God has required of you. You live to meet God's demands and not the expectation of the people if their expectations are against what God has asked of you. Many of us have fallen short in living the life of a Muslim as a follower of Prophet Muhammad. Many have fallen short because they just don't know. Therefore, it is an obligation on those who know to bring the message clearly to the people. That obligation was on our prophet, and he informed us that the same obligation or burden is on those who follow him. God says to us in the Quran, O you who believe, bow down and prostrate yourself and adorn your Lord and do good that you may prosper. And strive in his cause as you ought to strive, with sincerity and discipline. He has chosen you and has imposed no difficulty on you in religion. It was the faith of your father Abraham. It is he who named you Muslim, both before and in this revelation, that the messenger may be a witness for you, and you be a witness for mankind. From the above verse, we see that the prophet will be a witness for us before God, and we are a witness before God with the people. If we carry out the responsibility, then we are before God. When we are before God, we will be the witness and say, God, these people had no excuse for what they did and for the path they took. We lived true to our religion amongst them. God didn't say that the prophet and his followers are witnesses to Muslims only. He said that we are witnesses to the people, meaning all people, whether they are Muslims or non-Muslims. It is also an obligation on the Muslim to warn their near relatives The Holy Quran says, and warn your nearest kinsmen. Then if they disobey you, say, I am free of the responsibility for what you do. Conversion to Islam was by good conduct. Many nations became Muslim, not because someone preached to them, but because they observed the life of good Muslims in their nation and decided that they wanted to be a Muslim. That happened in much of Africa. The Africans saw the life of Muslims, and they were attracted to that life. Certainly, there were preachers, but most of the conversion came by the excellent example of Islamic life that Muslims lived. Out of necessity, the Muslims traded and visited with Africans, and many of them came to introduce the religion. But the religion grew in Africa because of the good example that Muslims showed to all people by living the excellence of Islamic life. And this is the way we want to be. We want to live the Islamic life so that it may be an influence on others who observe how we live. Indonesia, a country that has the biggest Muslim population, was converted in the same way. Indonesia has over 100 million Muslims, and nobody came there and conquered them with weapons. Nobody preached them into the religion with a missionary movement to convert them. Indonesia became Muslim because it dealt with Muslim traders and Muslim business people. They were converted by the lifestyle of the good Muslim. These are the facts that everyone should know, especially the Muslim. For centuries, there has been ugly war of false propaganda against the religion of Islam, and we want to correct this incorrect view by our example and lifestyle. It is not good for an imam to come out on Friday, Jummah, and Sunday with his khutbah, lecture, and then go back and the people not see him anymore until the next Friday. This is especially so if he is not working on a job or if he does not have a business to run. Prophet Muhammad didn't regard those who only devoted themselves to ritualistic and spiritual devotion with the same regards as those who were devoted spiritually, as well as working to help build the foundation of the community. Prophet Muhammad was a man who did both. Allah tells Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him in the Quran, rise up and warn. And in another place, he said, stand to pray by night, but not all night, half of it or a little less. Truly, the rising by night is most potent for governing in the soul and most suitable for framing the words. True, there is by day prolonged occupation with ordinary duties. We learn from this verse that God is telling the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, not to spend so much time in prayer at night that he would be too tired to carry out his duties to the community during the day. Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, had no off days. He was busy every day. There are some Muslims who take Sunday as a day of rest. Sunday is no rest day. Sunday is a work day. Muslims have no rest day, not even Friday. God tells us that when we hear the call to prayer on Friday, leave off business and respond to the call to prayers. And when the prayer is over, go our many different ways back to productive work. Adhan essentially knocks on the conscience. The Muslim community should be a dynamic community rising up to every challenge. Our call to prayer, the Adhan, essentially means that which knocks on the conscience. It is designed or formed to get our awareness, to get our attention. We give the call 5 times daily to make the Muslim aware of their concern. And our most important concern is to be worshipers of God. to respond to him. We've had a technical difficulty, so we will continue. For Allah has brought back the truth through Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. That truth is this, that is the night that feeds man's human nature. Give him that peace, that quietness necessary for him to see realities of his life better. There are some animals that can see in the dark, some can see in the light, some can see in both light and the darkness. The human being can see in both the night and in the day. He sees, he can see in the day with the physical eye, but we see best in the night with our minds. When it is dark, when we can think better, we can listen to the voice of the heart, conscious, and hear it better. We can find the hidden answers that the daylight won't uncover. But in the night, we can find the hidden answers. In fact, even in the daytime, sometimes when we are thinking deep, we close our eyes. We like to turn the light off because it is better. It helps us to think a little better. God has said it. You will find the night conducive, very good for framing the right words. And isn't that the struggle of intelligence, not to just come up with an idea, but to frame it in the right words so that message can be passed on to others so they understand it? Many times we get an idea, but we can't pass it on to others because it is not in the right words. So we can't make it plain. Muslim rise thinking ability. The Quran, Surah 73, Ayat 4. Quran recites slow rhythmic tones, not on your job, working conditions, situations. They find that workers that need the best maximum benefit from the environment to do their work, they are thinking on what is conducive to their requirement. They find that making the place pleasant, it appears in everything and environmental surroundings to the senses, the eyes, and by having music low, not high, very melodious music, they find that it raises the intelligence and the thinking ability of their workers. So this was recently reported, although they have been doing similar studies. So if they knew this, why do we come there? They give masses of all this fast stuff that shatters our brain. They don't love you. They care nothing for you. So we have to care something about ourselves. And if we go on following that stuff after knowing better, we deserve whatever comes to us. We deserve what they are giving us. Quran slow recital brings out the intuitive light. Just one other thing I want to say to bring you to what we really should be looking at, and that is the Quran, and that advances over time. That's supposed to be some new science they discovered. And in the Quran 1400 years ago, you are to read it in slow rhythmic so you can get the intelligence and the meaning from it. You speed it up and you won't get it. And at the same while, you are having time to think about it and digest it. The slow musical recital of the Quran is bringing out the intuitive light, bringing it to the surface. The Quran, Surah 73, Ayat 5 to 6, weighty words sent down. What did Allah promise to Muhammad? while he was revealing to him, he said, I'm going to teach you. God told him that. Some will say, yes, he was teaching him when he was giving him the Quran. Yes, but that's not all of it. No. He told Prophet Muhammad that he was going to send upon him a weighty word. And Allah says to Muhammad that he found him drooping, meaning strained, underweight, a lot of weight on him, didn't he? When he received the first sign of revelation, go to his wife, burdened and strained, and she told him of an uncle who was a Christian and had knowledge of scripture. He had no knowledge of scripture. He was unlettered. So he had no knowledge of scripture. She told him of that uncle. The uncle talked to her, and she talked to him. And didn't his burden begin to be a little lighter? So though he had already begun receiving revelation, it burdened him. Why? Because it is heavy and hard to understand for a man that's not educated. But God says he will educate him, and God educated him. You have a living proof in me. The Quran, Surah 74, Ayat 1-3, O ye in mental, arise, warn. The Quran, Surah 39, Ayat 39, work in your place. The Holy Quran guided us to common sense. It is a common sense message, although it contains very complex ideas in the very beginning of revelation to Prophet Muhammad, praise and the peace be upon him. He was told by God, O you who are wrapped up in your mental cloth, stand up and warn the people. God is going to give you a weighty word. Although the Quran appealed and directed us, common sense, it still has all that is needed to satisfy the intellectual. But what am I trying to do in this article is to try and make what Muslims should be doing here in the United States very simple and clear. God makes it very clear and simple in the Quran as to what Muslims should be doing. When he says, work in your places, I am a worker. God is telling us in the above verse that he is not an idle God or a God at rest. Accordingly, Muslims don't believe in a static universe or a God that is resting. I'm not trying to address any deficiencies in anyone's religion. I just want to bring that message to you and hope that the Muslims and others will appreciate what is being said to them by God, that he does not rest and that he never took a rest. The Holy Quran gives us an excellent description that is simple and clear of how God relates to his creation. It says, God, there is no God but he, the living, the self-subsisting, eternal. No slumber can seize him, nor sleep. His are all things in the heavens and on earth. Who is there can intercede in his presence, except that he permits. This verse tells us that God is active every moment of the day. There is not a single second during which he is not active in the world, in the wonderful work. Muslims have to believe that. If we believe that God took a rest, it will make us want to take a rest. And if all of us take a rest, we will be without anything. Muslims must also understand that though we have heard of al-Islam in the West, for the most part, it has been incorrectly presented. We need the true report on this religion, how it was revealed to Prophet Muhammad, praise and the peace be upon him, what it did to end the Dark Ages, how it brought the Arabs who were steeped in ignorance and corruption, to peak of civilization where they became the beacon light of the intellectual ability for the human being. Al-Islam made possible the regeneration of scientific interests and scientific progress for the whole world. This is a fact of history. And if you don't believe what I am stating, all you have to do is study the medieval age and the influence of Al-Islam upon that period. The Prophet Muhammad, present, the peace be upon him, began his mission. Most of the people were ignorant. In fact, it is referred to as the age of ignorance in Arabia. Addressing the need to make the people literate, Prophet Muhammad, present, the peace be upon him, instituted a public program to educate all of the people. Most of them could not read, so he taught them to read the Quran. Education, an obligation on every male and female, study from the cradle to the grave. Though the majority of Muslims born in America are literate in English, they are illiterate when it comes to the Arabic language. Therefore, if they are to get the great benefit of our holy book, they must study the Arabic language, and you should not think you are ever too old to study the Arabic language. Prophet Muhammad, present, the peace be upon him, said that we are to gain knowledge to become educated. It is an obligation on every male and female born in the Muslim society. Furthermore, he said that the obligation to acquire knowledge is on the individual from the cradle to the grave. No matter how old you are, if you accept what he has given us, you feel an obligation to increase your knowledge. If you are not in school, you should return to school in some way or other. You should always remain a student. You should die a student. That should be the commitment of every Muslim. The only way Muslims can be strong in Islamic knowledge is to turn to the pure Islamic sources, such as the Quran, the Hadith, literature, traditional, to the Sunnah practice, the history of Prophet Muhammad, prayers, and the peace be upon him. Muslims must study the wisdom of the learned companions of the Prophet, prayers, and the peace be upon him, and the wisdom of those learned imams, which survived the early days of the Muslims and whose knowledge was passed on to us. You must study and learn that knowledge, and as you do, you will become strong in knowledge. There was a great man who once lived amongst the African-American race who said, "The white man, until you strive to become equal to him in knowledge." I believe he left the African-American with a precious wisdom in that statement. However, to gain knowledge will not be enough. In fact, all that is within the human possibility is not enough unless we also exercise that which is within our moral possibility. It is the moral urge and the moral commitment in man that will preserve life and progress. We can learn all of the wisdom in the Quran, the wisdom in the textbooks of a college or a university, but if we lose the contents of our moral life, we cannot go forward. The proof of how moral deficiency affects us in the whole of our life is by what we now see taking place in America today. Race, stop addressing race, start addressing man. The Islamic religion was revealed for all people. As Muslims, we will have to appeal to our audience from a position other than that of racial concerns. Racial concerns are too small and narrow. We must stop addressing race and start addressing man. We have to stop designing our material to appeal to just blacks, that is, the indigenous African American. We have to design our educational material, our books, our propagation, dawah material, to appeal to the universal man. This religion was revealed for all people, and that is the spirit we must come into. We should not hesitate to carry the message of Islam to an Englishman, a Hispanic, an African American Indian, a Chinese, or to anyone. Whatever his race, don't hesitate to carry it to him, because in this special situation that now exists in America, the lost, misplaced values of and confused concerns, everybody should be given an opportunity to hear and accept this religion. This is what we must believe. If you believe this in your heart, you will grow to be a strong person. Cleanliness, the Quran, Surah 7, Ayat 32, and 7, Ayat 31. Clothes, clean, time, place of prayer. The Quran, Surah 74, Ayat 1 to 4. O you wrapped in a mantle, arise and warn. The Quran, Surah 10, Ayat 16. Prophet lived a lifetime amongst you. The Quran, Surah 68, Ayat 4. Prophet is on an exalted character. El Hadith, page 1, 366 and 1. Cleanliness is half religion. El Hadith, page 674, 28. Cleanliness is half a religion. Keep the environment, the neighborhood clean. The Prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, was also told by God in the Quran, and make your personal environment clean. That is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, in the Quran, knowing that the life of the Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, that was 40 years before he received any communications from God. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says of him, for the whole period of 40 years, surely we have seen you on a mighty foundation of character. He was already an excellent human being and the model of human life that the Creator wanted or intended for us. God did not have to tell Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, to become a clean man. He told him to keep his environment clean. He kept his environment clean. Believe me. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say our private and personal environment clean? He is speaking through Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, to us. And that will help us understand many things that God says to him. It's not because Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, needed it. He is speaking through Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, general masses of people on this planet Earth, and especially those of his following, the Muslims, who follow him. Think about this. God says your environment, your immediate place where you have to live and take care of yourself and your family, keep it clean. Cleanliness is faith in your creation as God made it. So you have heard the saying, cleanliness is next to godliness. Cleanliness is an expression of faith. When you want to keep yourself clean, you don't like filth on you. That is an expression of faith. Faith in your creation as God made it. Faith in your creation as its best conditions as God created. It is an expression of faith, cleanliness. Muklasina, carry the logic to its conclusion. Devotee, religion is for God. Muslims are supposed to see the logic and then take it to its logical conclusion. God speaks of the mukhlis, referring to one person, Muflisina, Lahudin. It is the plural form of the word, referring to all of us. It means we are the ones who take the logic to its conclusion, and for God is the religion. Why do it say for God is the religion? Most of the people who take responsibility for giving to the people what God revealed to be their religion, they make their religion their business, supporting them. Even the world has done this. The world has taken religion to be something that just supports whatever it wants. If it's political, politics, then it's politics. If it is money, it's money. If it is show-off life, it is show-off life. Most of the people in religion are not presented and representing the life that God, the Creator, wants for us on this planet Earth. Most of the Muslims, too. I said most of the people. Most of the Muslims are not presenting and representing what the Creator, the real God, wants for human beings on this planet Earth. Their religion is a party time thing. Dress up and go out, feel good, flatter God with a whole lot of stuff, and go right back to your nasty life or your cheating life, cheating on your wife, cheating on your family, cheating on your children because they obligate you. They have a right, cheating on the neighborhood, society, cheating on the world. Cleanliness is the beginning of life. A neglected baby becomes a filthy man. Cleanliness is in the beginning of life. It is in the natural of the nature of all new babies or new human life to dislike filth. The baby just came. The filth did not make any blister. It did not hurt the skin at all. But the baby infant is crying, letting mama know, I have filth on me. And if she ignores that baby, it will become conditioned to live with filth on it. And we will have a filthy black man in the neighborhood. I'm talking to you mothers. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, where there is not decent women, there can be no decent men. The Quran, Surah 75, Ayat 1, Nafs Lawamah, self-accusing spirit. The intellectual being who has formed as a thinking person respond to intelligence rather than to emotion. Accusing, you can look at yourself and judge yourself. The Quran, Surah 75, Ayat 2, self-accusing soul. So the second stage where reason prevails is characterized by inquiry to question those things and to try to find deeper and more meaning that will satisfy our understanding and keep finding a better state of mind and a better life. The path for life is a path for discovery, towards discovery. God has created us to use our intelligence and to discover things. Like that little child, it will just make something fall just to see what is this, why it falls. I believe this stage is referred to with the expression self-accusing soul. There is an expression in the development of the human soul called self-accusing soul. For those who speak Arabic, nefs lawana, and the first impetuous one, nefs lawana, self-accusing soul. The Quran, Surah 75, Ayat 2, Nets Lewana, there is another one, second description given of these three, is that the person is occupied with himself. You become occupied with your own self, with the human makeup, the human person, and it is called Nets Lewana. And the word lewana means that this person is critical. People tend to be critical. And if you are not critical, then you tend to look for the problem. I use critical in the negative way or the negative sense. You tend to look for the positive thing, for the good, for something to praise. So these two go together, because the critical person doesn't necessarily have to be looking for fault or necessarily be a fault finder. The critical person could be critical of something that is suitable for human excellence, you see, romance period. But just the tendency to be tied up with this knowledge at the human person admiring or holding the human being up in high merit or putting the human down, that tendency can lead to many things, to hard-heartedness, wholeness, where you don't value human persons as a human creation at all. And then it can go to the other extreme, where you are just immured by what you see in human beings. You fall in love. That was the romance period for Rome and the old world. That was the romantic period where the artist was just all in love with the body of the human person. And that whole period, the romance period, is to show you that this tendency really rose to be a mark on history itself. Man interest in himself, of the human person, interest in human as a great human creation. And the romance period was accompanied by those two, one putting the human being down, other putting him up. So contend with you. The Quran, Surah 75, Ayah 2, soul that reproach itself. So this nature, Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, choose that life for us, a life of struggle. There is something always contending with you, especially if you want to be right. There's something always contending with you, even your own nature, your own soul, the tendency in yourself. Netsin lewameha, the critical person, and netsin netsin metema inneha, the person who is peaceful. The Quran, Surah 75, Ayah 2, the self-accusing soul. One person corrected me, saying, "Brother Imam, they were not formed in the stomach of their mother." He is being technical. Whatever you are talking about, where it is, in the leg, chest, or her head, where is it? In the stomach. I guess he thought I meant formed in there where the baby, where my bean soup goes. We know better than that. It has a special compartment where we know we see a big stomach. And sometimes we have to cut the stomach open to save the baby because the mother can't deliver it. So they have to give her an incision and take the baby out from the stomach. But when you look at the fine fault, it is easy. The people are described in scripture in many descriptions, but mainly those who look to find fault and those who look to find merit in people. Isn't that something? Scripture says seven eyes went out to find fault in people and seven went out to find merit. So this is the Bible. But in the Quran, it is nafsin lawamaha, the critical person, nafsin matamana, the person who is peaceful and compassionate, like Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, was. They say they do not know anywhere in the history where he got angry with anybody. He never railed at anybody. He never was hard. The man is deserving of the position God gave him as a model. for all people who believe in God in the last day. Bones are symbolic of universal principles. The Quran, Surah 75, Ayat 3, pardon me, bones are symbolic of universal principles. The Quran, Surah 75, Ayat 3, does man think we cannot assemble his bones? The Quran, Surah 36, Ayat 78, who can give life to dry bones? Ezekiel 3:10, prophecy upon these bones. Now I'm talking to you, flesh cannot enter the kingdom, but according to prophet Ezekiel, the bones got together and the bones stood up out of the valley of death. Flesh comes bones, red, black, and yellow. Bones all come white. All of us have the same admission ticket. You have to have the original principle of truth, righteousness, and justice that God gave you from your very beginning. God inspired in man through his conscience and movement up the ladder of strong moral principles, virtues, justice, and righteousness. Unless you have that construction, unless you have that construction of those bones of principles to hold up your flesh, you cannot enter the kingdom. And those universal principles of justice, of virtue, or moral excellence, of human excellence, they are same all over the world. If you stand a black man's truth up, it looks just like a white man's truth. It has truth indeed. These are the bones that I must uphold. The life of the hereafter, the Quran, Surah 17, Ayat 51. All created matter which you in your mind is hardest to be raised up. Yet shall you be raised up. Then will they say, who will cause us to return, say, he who created you first. Then will they wag their heads towards thee and say, when will that be? Say, maybe it will be quite soon. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the holy book, the Quran? It is indeed true that when we have died and become dust in the grave, that this God is going to raise us up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in his holy book, tell them, even though you be less than bone, though you be less than dust, still you are going to be raised up. It says, tell them it is not just a promise, that this is more than a promise, that this is a necessity, that it is what Allah says in the Quran, that it is more than a promise from God. It is a necessity to the justice so that justice will prevail. Resurrection must restore humanism. It is a necessity that the knowledge that God originally designed in human nature for man to grow up with must be restored to him, that he must be given back those human principles that will uphold his flesh, that will make his environment safe from racism, from color consciousness. He must return to human principles, principles dictated from the very substance, from the very design of his true human nature. Every man is black, meaning natural. Oh, and who is this natural man that God made from the very beginning, whose conscience tells him the right steps to make in life? This is the original black man. Why do you call him black when you say that all men are accepted before God? All men are black when they are in their original nature. What is this strange terminology that you are using today, W.D. Muhammad? It is the true understanding in your Bible. It is the true understanding in the Holy Quran. That is what I am talking about. This is not my language. This is the language revealed to prophets by God. And I am telling you that Almighty God says in the Bible and in the Holy Quran that every man, every woman is true and black if they are in their original nature. So black means follow human moral nature. What does it mean to be black? Black means to trust the life that God put in you. From the beginning, to trust my human nature. That is being black. To trust the voice of my moral nature that tells me not to lie, that tells me not to mistreat people. To trust the voice in my nature, life, or my natural life. It tells me not to shortchange brothers because he is not of my flesh. To do right by everybody. I don't need a gospel to tell me that. I don't need a Torah to tell me that. I don't need even a Holy Quran to tell me that. Before Torah, before gospel, before Holy Quran, I was told that through my human nature. Human nature is what taught me to follow the right road, to follow the road of truth and justice, and turn away from the road of lies and injustice. The human being tells me that. Resurrection of the dead on good. The Quran, Surah 75, Ayah 3-4, resurrects the dead. The Quran, Surah 79, Ayah 46, resurrection seen like night or day. The Quran, Surah 13, Ayah 26, family members join in hereafter. Bukhari, page 9, 532b. Believers intercede people out of hell. This soul, this is what lives. This will be resurrected. And whatever of your life that conformed to this, that was good, complements to this, that will be you in the resurrection. I used to wonder about the resurrection of the dead. I knew that the dead are resurrected. I know there is eternal life. I don't believe anymore, only. I know that there is a resurrection of the dead, and there is eternal life. The language is addressing this world that we live in now, even in its symbolism and mysteries about heaven and about the dark drink in the heavens. They will drink of a water like Kumpura, and they will drink of the water of Sesabat. All these names have reference to this life. Everything has reference to this life here on earth that we live right now. But the prophet, prayers and the peace be upon him, didn't tell us to disbelieve in the hereafter. He said that whatever is in the print in the Quran also has on in his own teachings, his own words, have a direct reference and an implied one. So if we get one there, it steals another. So if I have connected the language of the Quran or the language of the prophet, prayers, and the peace be upon him, with my life presently, I must understand that there is another connection, and that other connection is the life eternal. Soul lives forever, body dies. So the soul lives forever. We may die, but the original soul lives forever. But if we dress our life up to conform to the original soul, we will be resurrected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they think they can't be reproduced. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran that he will reproduce your fingerprint with the design. They're just like it is. I'm a believer. I don't question it. And if I do not understand it, I do not bother it. I will wait until I can understand it. And not only that, your relatives, the sisters asked about the soul. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, sister, that your relatives too, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed to have a new world life. Let me tell you what it will be. God has blessed me to know it's not going to be in this world as you see it now. One day this universe is going to go away, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reproduce this whole universe. The sun will be gone. The moon will be gone. Now you might say this is trillions and trillions of light years away. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says for the soul that dies when they wake up in this new world, they will say it looks like it only was one night or a day, because you don't have any time when you die. Time is gone. So you will be awakened and you will think you just went to sleep and woke up, and it will be a new creation. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. We thank New Africa Excellent Murad Speaks for allowing us to come before you once again, and we thank you, our honorable listening audience. To the Muslims in America and throughout the world, Ramadan Mubarak. May Allah bless us to have a safe and successful Ramadan. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding as I greet you in the Arabic language. And we will continue this next Wednesday and Thursday at 7 p.m. Inshallah, it only means if it please Allah or please God. Assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And once again, thank you for listening.